Here, slide this guy down.
Put it in the center.
Well, she wants to start.
Hello.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can well be used against your court of law. In your case, you're in a heap of trouble. Is it noon? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's start the meeting of the... Oh, actually, we have a quorum. Three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's call the order for the meeting of the Airport Committee meeting. Today's date, which is Tuesday, April 19th. Do I have approval of the meeting of the minutes?
Move it to approve.
Second.
Okay, move and second. Okay, the AIP project status.
The AIP project is at the status where it's essentially complete. There's a couple of items that are still on the board for it, but it's considered essentially complete. It is, what we're waiting on is the new pilot control lighting is not being as responsive as it should be, and so what we're having is an issue where the lighting that's on the FAA pilot control lighting will respond at a certain level that the new radio they sent us is not responding. So we sent that back to the manufacturer for testing and to find out why it's doing that, and we put the runway lighting back onto the FAA controls. The reason why we were even upgrading, or not upgrading, but changing the runway lighting controls is because the FAA has a policy that says their equipment can't be mixed with city or county or district, whoever owns the airport's equipment, so in this case the city's equipment. So FAA equipment can't be mixed with city equipment. And sometime in the past they've got mixed together. When we were doing the evaluation for this job for the lighting system, that came out and the FAA said, change that, and so we ordered this radio. So we got this radio in place, and basically what will happen is if a pilot comes in and just, you know, does a standard click, click, click at a fairly, you know, slow speed, everything comes up normally and everything comes up in sequence or in unison, the FAA lighting and the airport lighting. We've had very few, but a few instances where someone would click the mic real fast, you know, just like real rapid clicking, and all the FAA lights would come up, but our lights wouldn't come up. So there's something with that new radio. Supposedly it was meeting all the FAA standards and specifications, but it wasn't working right. So we sent it back. We're waiting on their testing process to see what happens. And that's the only thing that's not complete. The beacon's up and running. It's been inspected and looking good. All the sign faces are replaced. They look beautiful. The rest of the electrical upgrades were done, the new regulator, that type of thing. So everything's done and looking really good.
Good. Okay. Next.
The Fly-On-P marketing campaign, we're kind of, the status of it hasn't changed a lot. We still have the flyers out that we're trying to get out as often as possible. Funny thing is, we lost 5,000 of them, so the newspaper took the blame for it and printed off another 5,000 for us, and then all of a sudden the first 5,000 have now shown up, so I have 10,000 of those flyers. Wow. If you guys can help me distribute those, I would love it. Yeah. You know, I've got plenty of flyers to distribute.
You're a sneaky devil, aren't you?
Well, what happened is the newspaper delivered them to Seaport, and Seaport put them on their airplane and took them up to their offices. Well, we called everybody in Seaport, hey, do you have these? The newspaper said they delivered them to you by mistake instead of to our department. And no one could find them. No one said they had them. So newspaper ordered us 5,000 more. We got those. We've been handing those out, and all of a sudden, on an airplane last week, came these three boxes saying, hey, we found these. You know, it's like a month and a half later, they found them.
Like luggage, right?
Yeah. And so we still want to distribute those. We're still getting the word out as often as possible to everyone we can about the flights. They seem to be doing okay. When I left even today, there were about six people waiting to get on board the inbound. So they're doing good. Seaport, this is turning in more than just Fly-On-P, it's turning into a bit of a Seaport update. Seaport is on the 24th of this month going to change the flight to have a stop in Salem. So if they have any passengers in Salem, they will detour and stop in Salem, pick up the passengers, and head on to Portland. If they don't have any passengers, they won't stop. So if they have passengers in Salem, the flight will be a little longer than it is now because of that stop. If they don't, then they'll just go direct to Portland.
Are they still flying the Caravan?
They won't. They'll only be flying the Pilatus when they do that. So the 24th.
Oh, that's when they start using the
The Pilatus only, yeah. You won't have the caravan anymore.
I see where they dropped their
Astoria Mark. Link.
Yeah, the one, well, not only Astoria, but the one Hermiston or someplace.
They dropped a flight out of Pendleton.
They dropped weekend flights out of Pendleton.
Yeah, yeah, which is the same thing they've done for us is they've dropped our weekend flights. So Friday night they go outbound and they don't come back until Sunday evening. Mark is still working very well with the local lodging people to give them to give their pilots night stays and trade for tickets, which is helping keep the cost down. I think it's also helping to promote the Fly OMP campaign.
Folks, it's just crucial.
Yeah.
To have them overnight.
Right.
Is there a flight into Newport on Friday night?
Friday afternoon, the normal flight, and then they leave Friday
night. But not a 6:50 flight?
There's a flight out on Friday night. There are three flights out on Friday.
I'm only asking because I booked it.
it's your flight in?
Yeah, at 8 o'clock at night from Portland on a Friday.
Mm-hmm. In.
Well, you would get here at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I guess.
And then I think they turn around at that point. I'd have to check the schedule. But yeah, I think that flight's still there. You're probably good.
Otherwise, I have to change my haircut.
But they haven't really announced their schedule change yet, huh?
I haven't seen it officially announced. I've been told that it's changing on the 24th. Yeah, it's online and everything. So, the only real problem we're having with the Fly OMP campaign is the World newspaper is hosting the website for it. Not the World, I'm sorry, I just went back a year and a half. The News Times is hosting the Fly OMP website, and it is extremely inconsistent. I'm trying to get them to transfer it over to the city's IT stuff so that we can have a little more control over it and keep it more consistent. That's the only real problem with the whole campaign. Our budget's doing well on it. I've been keeping a little bit back in the back, but I'm going to start letting that go now and use the budget for the campaign to start it going. Yeah, for summer season.
Well, we sort of need to spend that money, don't we, before we can close out the consortium.
Right.
So.
Well, we need to spend the money, but it's also now is the time to do it, to really make a kind of a blitz on the campaign.
Best impact.
Because the money gets reimbursed by from the grant, but I don't know where we are with closing that whole thing out. We're getting closer. We don't have a date set yet.
Not yet. We're looking at, I think, May 22nd. I can't remember the exact date, but it will really hinge on whether the grants are closed.
Well, they do, coming off subject, but Astoria, you know, had money to promote also. Did they just, and then it died, they just... They spent it all before they died?
I don't know if they spent it all. I haven't seen all their accounting yet. I know we were dealing with a few issues on them on that. We had a couple of questions about things that they haven't answered yet.
The proposal, the money that they used, the $40,000 that they used, their proposal was for print materials, and they paid someone to go around and sell voucher booklets.
Yeah.
So the money was dedicated and spent, but then they didn't succeed in selling the books, so the flights went away. But I think they spent all the money right up front.
Tickets,
you know.
I won't comment on my personal opinion on that, but I think they kind of just were milking the cow a little there.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Question. Did they substantiate the schedule change of shutting down Friday evening and starting back up Sunday with ridership? And the reason why I question that is, and comment, is it seems like particularly going into the summer season, that weekend travel.
There's several reasons for why they're doing that. One of it is our customers do tend to be a little more the weekday traveler, not the weekend traveler. But they also are trying to keep those airplanes flying on their Seaport Portland route. Or their Seattle-Portland route during the weekends. They're trying to hit that and make some competition up there. They also have to have some downtime on the airplanes for, you know, their crew being down. And, you know, they're trying to cut back on crew costs and all those things. So they need to give people days off here and there and those type of things. So there's a lot of different things. It's not all about our passenger counts and where we will have the most numbers. But that's somewhat of it.
It's a mix.
Yeah.
But it has been the last 2 years that weekends were not very good.
Right.
Except for coming back, you know, coming in late Sunday and they're still doing that flight. Mm-hmm. And they actually have, they have quite a few people on that flight and leaving Friday. So now there's three flights out Friday. So you can leave after work on Friday and get back before work on Monday if you're mm-hmm. flying from.
Yeah, it's great for a weekend trip, actually. I mean, and even people who want to come here for the weekend, getting back somewhere is a little more difficult in a timely fashion. But yeah. for us going somewhere, it's really good.
Yeah.
Just curious.
And they told you, he told you the other day, four, he's averaging four.
He told me the other day he's averaging four. I was just saying before you walked in, there were six people waiting to get on the flight as I was leaving to come here. So
Midday.
So, I mean, I think they're doing well. You know, I mean, I keep sharing this with everybody I can. My analysis of their business and the way they're flying, you run it down to the bottom line. I think as long as they're still in business and they don't find another market where they can put more people on those airplanes, they will continue to fly out of here because it's a matter of covering their fixed costs. Their variable costs we've cut down to nothing between Mark and I and the negotiations we've done with them. The only thing they're paying for to fly in and out of here is fuel, and our agreement gives them a huge discount on their fuel. So, you know, their fixed costs. So every person they put on that airplane just helps cover their fixed cost on the rest of their entire, you know, market area. So I don't see them, unless we just get down to the point where we're only putting one or two people on average on a flight, I don't see them canceling here as long as they're still in business. And that's again, my own personal analysis of what I'm seeing, their business plan, the way they're doing. The only exception to that would be if they decided, like, a place like Salem would put, you know, all nine people on board the airplane. But I don't think Salem's going to do that. And I don't think they have any other place within reach that will do it. So.
Yeah, the only problem with adding Salem is it adds half an hour to the flight.
Right.
They're going to stop both ways, so. But they didn't really change the arrival times or the departure times from Portland. They're leaving earlier in the morning from here and arriving later here in the evening flights. So the midday flight's a different schedule. Yeah.
And I was saying, I was told by them, and again, this isn't in their schedule, this is just what they're telling me, that they're not stopping unless they have passengers that they know of in Salem. So it's not going to be, you know, stop and just see if anybody's waiting, you know. They'll know.
But the problem is they're going to end up, it won't be so bad. The only place that would be kind of odd is if people are needing the plane here, and they might be here half an hour early.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Well, we can deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of, yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of a fly ONP update, but also a seaport update. So.
Okay, Tilwick.
Yeah.
Can I do one more quick thing about seaport? And that is that Bill Bain is working and is helping me and working, and he's actually twisting arms for lodging establishments. They've stayed in bed and breakfasts, vacation rentals, hotels. They stayed just a little bit of everything so far since they started flying. We've been trading out rooms. They will also trade out rooms with individual homes. I mean, they don't care as long as they have two beds to sleep in. So anybody that's interested in trading rooms for tickets can partake of the process. And they're going to need two rooms every night starting next week. But at one point, there was a discussion a little bit, and I it's not a definite thing, and I know Gene mentioned it a little bit too, but I'm just curious how people would feel about establishing a place for the pilots to sleep at the FBO.
That was going through my mind before you said that.
Yeah, if it's a feasible thing, and people, you know, just kind of chew on that for a little while, because I really kind of feel like we're going to get there. I don't know when or how. To me, that would be better to try to accommodate them in some way there than it would be to say, we're not going to cover your overnight stay, because the evening flight and the first morning out at 5 a.m., those are the bread and butter flights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to really make it work for us to continue to have them, for Seaport to continue, they really need to overnight that plane here.
I'll give them Gene's office.
But I'm just saying, you know, there.
There's two offices there. Why don't you give them front one?
I don't know how, you know. I just don't know, you know, what, well, how people would feel about that. And I really don't know what kind of. But I mean, there's definitely facility there, space there.
Space.
How that would set up and work, I don't know.
Well, is it not to our advantage to make sure that they do have housing when they are here?
Or it is our advantage. It's absolutely our advantage. I talked with Rob McKinney, the CEO, a little bit about, you know, so far it's worked out pretty well as far as their lodging goes. Now, like, for instance, they're staying at the Whaler this week, only one pilot this week. Are they just flying the caravan?
Just flying the caravan right now, yeah.
So because they're doing training on the Pilatus in order to switch to Pilatus only next week. So they're, you know, what John Clark is doing is just going in and cleaning the room every day, because you don't know if it's going to be the same pilot from day to day.
True.
So even if there's a trade out, you know, there's still some fixed costs for him, because he has to turn the room over. It's very minimal. They're barely there.
Right.
I mean, they walk in the room. I don't even think they're using a shower. I mean, you know, they're flushing the toilet twice and sleeping in the bed, and that's about it, you know. So he said it's been absolutely no issue as far as how the rooms are used and anything like that. It's really quick and easy. But there is a small fixed cost, and I asked him if he would, you know, if he would be willing to come up with a rate that was just knocked down dirty. This is how much it cost me to turn that room over, period. Not looking for any profit at all. And would, you know, and he said, well, that, he said, in the long run, that might be a better solution. But when I suggested that to Rob, it was kind of like, well, you know, we can't really spend anything right now, you know, overnighting those pilots. Maybe in the future they might be able to. But
so I think you'd have to get at the airport would be a washer and dryer. Or
we have a washer and dryer downstairs. It's in the hangar.
The cost would be, right. I think you would just have to have a linen service. You know, what they did for the last 2 years and what they've been doing at the vacation rentals is that, you know, there's clean linen available.
Right.
So when the pilot gets up in the morning, they strip the bed off, throw it into a bin, and then the next pilot in has to make their bed, has to make their own bed. But there's clean linen available, clean towels available. So that's the thing you'd have to do. You'd have to have a linen service.
Yeah.
You'd have to have the West Coast linen service come in.
Well, you wouldn't have to have it. He has a washer and dryer.
Yeah. Maybe you could do it there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, a couple beds in a towel, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, there are some fixed costs, even if you had it at the airport. There's some more expense there, but not a lot. So anyway, that's, you know.
Now, we would have to do some, you know, minor remodeling of some area, put a couple of beds in it.
And you have to have separate rooms part of the issue, because you've got male, female.
Right, I mean, but it could be even something like just, you know, partitions with a couple of doors. I mean, they don't have to be...
Restrooms are downstairs.
Well, we have a restroom upstairs with a shower, and we have two restrooms downstairs.
Well, there's a restroom upstairs?
Yeah, with a shower in it, too. So.
Oh, okay.
So and then there's a little kitchen
area if they want to have a snack or something. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, you know, just kind of everybody kind of be thinking that direction. Like if we end up, you know, kind of running at the end of our rope on the rooms for tickets thing.
The only thing we would need to do is the expense of some minor remodeling and buying a couple of beds and then getting everyone to approve it as an idea from the committee to the FAA. The FAA doesn't have a problem with crew quarters, and so the only thing I'd have to do is show them that it's crew quarters, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They do have problems with people living on the airport. Yeah. So, like, for instance, I couldn't come to you and say, hey, as the airport manager, I want a house out on the airport. Even if you agreed to that, the FAA would say, no, I don't think so, because it's not meant for living at. But a crew that's staying overnight, they approve that. You just have to show them that it's a crew and that it's crew quarters, and so there's no issues there.
So as a committee, you're looking for the committee to recommend somebody put a pencil to this and pencil it out and see what the cost would be.
I don't think right now we're looking for any approval. Mark's just saying, you know, think about it.
Might be coming down the road. I'd rather sustain it the other way. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have it be the community support and showing community support.
Absolutely.
And having it be a trade and having the community say this is important enough, you know, the businesses around the community say
well,
this
I think
is
there's
important
a
enough.
There's quite a few folks that word is not yet completely, especially with their own particular houses.
Yeah.
A lot of people have more house than they need.
Yeah.
And they like to go travel. Yeah.
And I think Mark's also asking you just to spread that word and make sure everybody knows.
And the the issue is that people have rooms, but they don't want the tickets. That's the other thing is people have to understand that the tickets are transferable. They can give them to anybody. They can give them to the chamber, and the chamber can use them for promotional purposes. There's lots of ways those tickets can be used if somebody just wants to help.
There's no shortage of nonprofits that can use those for money recovery.
For incentives and that kind of stuff, And they can be sold, I suppose. I mean, Seaport's not going to...
What about Grace, let's give them?
A fundraiser, a raffle.
Yeah. When the pilots come in, do they know whether they're going to be staying that night?
So far we've been lucky that they have a week at a time.
Okay.
So what's happening is that the week, like this particular week, Noel McDermott is the operations manager at Seaport, so I email him, let him know who's going to house them for the next week. And then he's been emailing them because they've been doing two pilots some nights, one pilot, depending on which plane they're using. But, starting next week, it's going to be two pilots every night. So basically, we know what the needs are. The other thing that he's doing is letting him know what the rotation schedule is, so they know when they need to change the beds. Because there are times when the same pilot comes back, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. But, just basically what their changeover needs are going to be. So he's emailing directly to the owners what bedding needs they need, what their needs are, and then he also emails directly to them the voucher, the electronic voucher number, and they're positive seats, so if somebody uses the voucher and makes a reservation, they can't get bumped. And you provide five nights of one bed, you get a round trip ticket. So next week you get two round trip tickets after 5 days. So it's a pretty good a pretty good trade.
So all six people today have the round trip tickets, right? No, I think it speaks very well for Newport trying to encourage them to stay here, and I think it's pretty silly for them if they decided to want to.
Yeah, and I'm working on some press release today or this afternoon, thanking the folks that so far have contributed rooms and talking about the whole community partnership and how important that is. So it's just something that everybody has to be aware of and keep pushing at, because it sort of gets, sort of goes out of mind.
Well, I doubt if... This is probably a new first for them, having a community provide a service like this.
They have some kind of overnight accommodations in Pendleton, and it's very marginal, I guess. When I talk to Rob McKinney, he goes, you guys have outclassed Pendleton by a long shot.
Are you sure they're still in Pendleton? Oregonian had them where they dropped their service someplace.
On the weekends.
Strictly weekends?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. They're still in Pendleton as long as the essential air service program is in play. One of the issues, and I didn't see the article in the Oregonian, is that the Congress is, in both the new appropriation bills, are talking about doing away with EAS by 2013. It's a big deal. There's a lot of reasons why not. There's a lot of reasons why it's... It's one of those bogus political, look, we saved a lot of money. They're really not saving any money. Anyway, you got to hope it doesn't happen, because it's going to affect smaller airlines like Seaport that do get a lot of their revenue on EAS, and it's going to affect their ability to fly into communities that aren't supported by EAS. But it's not just Seaport, too. It's SkyWest and other airlines that,
they phase it.
Yeah.
They look at the ones that are working and then get rid of the ones that aren't, and instead of just saying we don't care.
Well, they threw EAS on the chopping block about 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Like on a last minute
kind of a deal. John McCain put it on as just do away with it right now, make it go away, and that was shot down. It didn't
so
go
there's
away.
A lot of people out
there. Yeah, had he done it in not such a draconian way, it probably may have been cut.
Well, the real issue is EAS is supported by the trust fund, which is not out of your taxes. It's part of the airline ticket fund, ticket tax, the fuel flow tax, all those things.
That's all good, except the problem is you got the couple somewhere in the middle of Arizona. We got a big 19-passenger jet flying in with two people.
With one or two people.
Yeah, right. That's the one that's killing us right now.
Right, and it's like I said. That's why I said it's a political issue, because he gets that. It's in the paper. People don't understand the funding process of it. They don't understand the economic impact that it has. But they're yelling and screaming because it's a waste of our money.
So they got to fix the egregious problem.
Right, exactly.
They have to have some passenger load factor.
Yeah, right, something that makes some sense of that. Yeah, I mean, the common sense of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Tillamook?
Well, I wasn't going to talk too much about this if press people were here, because I don't want things really getting too carried away. But basically, we had a meeting last Friday with the guy that owns Tillamook Air Museum, who's Jack Erickson. He started Erickson Crane, which is a heavy lift helicopter company.
Yeah.
He doesn't own Erickson Crane anymore, but he owns a couple of businesses. He's still involved in aviation, and he owns the Tillamook Air Museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of money to do what he's talking about. He's interested in moving the Tillamook Air Museum because that huge old hangar that they're in is in dire need of repair, and the port of Tillamook doesn't want to repair it, and he's looking at the money it would cost. I'm sorry?
I would think that would be almost a national historic.
It is, but it's
no money. Yeah.
The expense to repair it is ridiculous. He's looking at what it would cost him to do the repairs himself, and he's saying, I can build a huge facility that's a lot better than what I than this, and I can build what I want. So he's looking to move. He's very interested in Newport. We're trying to help him overcome some of the hurdles that are involved, some of the stuff we've talked about before here, the infrastructure problems and stuff. We got a whole team of people together last Friday to talk to him. We had everyone together. We've been over backwards trying to make this appealing to him. I think it has good potential. I'm trying not to get myself too excited about it because, you know, there's nothing absolute about it. He's just looking at his possibilities right now.
Does a person like that need an investor to build a building, or does he want to do it himself?
He's doing it himself.
Where would you put it?
Out over near where the fire station is. So we would have some things with access, changing roads, building new taxiways.
He needs to be inside the fence.
It needs to have ramp and taxiway access.
Apron and taxiway to the air.
Because his aircraft are all flyable.
Oh, they are.
Would he still call it the Tillamook?
No, he's going to call it the Erickson Air Museum if he does. Mm-hmm. He brought in some drawings that are just beautiful drawings. Yeah. The building would be amazing. He also indicated that he's got a couple of aviation businesses that if he built the museum here, he would run those out of it as well.
Nice part, he's at the closer end of where the water would come from.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It actually is possible to do a temporary kind of sewer thing without having to put the whole big trunk line in down into South Shore. So, service them almost immediately without having to deal with the huge infrastructure needs of the sewer.
That's why we picked that area down there, several reasons. It's closer to all that. Yeah. It's closer to highway access.
Do we own that property?
Good visibility.
Yeah. Yep. We own
that property. He wants exposure to Highway 101.
He needs it for access. Yeah, he needs some public access. Public access.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing we need to be careful about at this time, this can't get out. Hey, Tillamook Air Museum's moving.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
I know. But and that's why I'm saying we got to be careful not to be. This is just preliminary talks right now. We can't get people excited. We can't get people. You know, I mean, it's just preliminary feasibility study at this time.
He'd be bringing everything inside the hangar down.
Mm-hmm.
And I own part of a blimp that's in that hangar.
It's 100,000 square feet. He's looking at.
Wow. Have you seen the Red Bull
air races?
The race and his private collection. Have you guys ever seen that? I should try to email you that. It is unbelievable.
I've seen the helicopters that fly.
So they're looking at elevations. You know, they're looking at the elevations over there, and then in the airport, the public works folks are taking a blueprint of what he has and superimposing it on what's happening with the land. Derek is looking at zoning, parking, blah, 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 and access to the highway, because ODOT access is the big one. And then, coming up with a rough estimate of what it would cost to get sewer and water to that point.
Tim and Lee are looking at that. So everybody's volunteering, everybody's jumping in. We're all working hard on this.
A question for the city, what can they do, like, have done for Intel and what have you as far as taxes, water, this type of thing, what have you, offset for a period of time?
You can trade off, we can trade off SDC charges with them. Mm-hmm. So they can earn credit by like, let's say if they put the money up front to put the water in the sewer line to get themselves connected to the city system, they could use that as a credit against their SDC charges.
Like an in-kind type
and,
of thing.
And, you know, depending on what the FAA says about the land, I mean, you know, we can lease the land to them for $1 a year, whatever we want to, and we can set whatever we want for lease rates.
There's not a height restriction the FAA would have?
There are height restrictions and stuff over there. It's called Part 77 because it's like you have all the other FAA parts, it's under Part 77. And they're called Part 77 surface areas, which basically you have the surface of the airfield, and at a certain point away from the center line of the runway, you go at a 7-to-1 slope up off, and that's considered now the surface of the airport, and nothing can penetrate above that. Where they're talking about doing, you can get up to a height, I would estimate, around 45, 50 feet before you start worrying about those surface areas.
And they were looking at 40 feet.
And they were looking at about 40 feet. Mm-hmm. If you do penetrate those surface areas, it's mitigatable, for instance, by marking lights, things like that.
The building is very, looks just like the bridge.
It would be good for the city.
It would be. Yeah. And, you know, I'm excited about it, but I'm trying not to get too excited because we got to be careful not to get too excited and run
is
them off.
Is he looking at any other places?
I don't know. He's like keeping that kind of close to the vest.
He didn't even have
I got from what he was talking about that he was looking at Hillsborough, but Hillsborough's development costs are ridiculous.
He
was looking at a couple other places on the coast that he's just finding aren't as attractive as here.
He wants to know how many people go down the highway, yeah. Both directions. And you know, Lorna was there, so
yeah,
she gave him all kinds of good information. You know, there's 500,000 people that go to the aquarium. And he goes, well, they wouldn't all go to the air museum. And I said, well, if you got half of 250,000, he goes, so that would be way. They have about 70,000.
He said 78,000
people
right now,
that come right now. And they're really interested in being close to the airstrip because they have a huge number of people that fly in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so if they have a big enough apron, people can fly in and taxi right to the apron by the building and walk from their plane into the museum and back, have lunch. I mean, they're looking at a facility that has a cafe, that has a restaurant and a bar, and you know, they rent it out for other events and that kind of stuff. So he mostly was concerned about what the terms of the lease would be, how long before the building would be gone to them and be turned over to somebody, and then the other part was
required.
No, and then the other part is how many people
will come.
Yeah, you know, why is Newport an attraction?
Well, yeah, but thank goodness you have figures like the aquarium and the lighthouse.
Lorna gave them all kinds of information.
Yeah. And the Marine Science Center as well.
Yeah, they have big figures too.
Yeah, the aquarium, Marine Science Center, the lighthouse.
The lighthouse gets what?
The shopping district.
700,000 people visit that lighthouse, and they have plenty of heads.
Yeah, it's a huge number of people. So, I mean, all that information he has.
That's you've got to pay a big fee.
Yeah, $4 to get in, whatever.
One step at a time.
Yeah, it's a great thing. We got to really do everything we can to make it happen for them.
Now tell them we'll have an aquatic park here too soon. So.
But we have to be careful not to not to run him off by getting things, you know. Yeah.
Seeing how you discuss this with us, shall we keep it off the agenda?
I would say in the future we keep it off the agenda until something happens.
Okay.
He's indicated that he wasn't ready for this to go too far public. They've got another, 5 or 6 weeks of...
That's why I'm surprised that somebody isn't sitting over there with this coming up on the agenda.
Yeah, I know.
However, they might be here at 2 o'clock.
That's true.
He hasn't really said yes or no to Tillamook yet, or told Tillamook what he's planning, what he's doing.
You know, big things like this, you had rumors of big box stores coming here, and they look, and they do the best they can, and then things happen. But at least you've got to have something happening.
Well, you know, he had really interesting questions. I mean, he looked right at Derek and he said, how long would it take you to get my plans approved?
Yeah, right.
And how long, you know, I mean, he's got it down to where he wants to have this thing done in 2 years.
Jeez.
So if he decides to jump, he's going to go. So you know, and Derek said, well, we, you know, it doesn't take us very long to do any of those kinds of things, but.
Okay, status?
Let's see, what's the next one?
It's on the renaming of the, that went to,
you know,
the council.
I haven't had a lot of involvement in that one. I know the planning department said no, correct?
The planning department refused to send a recommendation to us. I'm not really sure what we do next.
I'm not sure we have anything to do with this.
The recommendation was?
They turned down the recommendation.
Yeah, well, let, send it up to us then.
Yeah.
So, to me, this is a dead issue because it's already, I mean, as far as we're concerned, because it's already gone.
As far as the airport?
They had your minutes and your unanimous vote, and they had lots of letters in support of it. They just decided that they didn't want to set the precedent. They didn't think that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they had all these reasons. I've sort of been waiting to see if anybody would come to the council and say, you know, you can consider it anyway, or please consider it anyway. I don't really know what the scoop is at this point.
You know what? It would normally come to council. I mean, whatever things come.
Whatever the recommendation was.
Yeah, it just comes with it. I would let it come. And
yeah. So we need to get it back up to the council table.
Yeah.
And from there.
Well, yeah, and I think the point of it being on the agenda was just to return back to the committee and say,
what has been
this
done.
Is what's been done.
Yeah.
You know, the city process can be the planning department can recommend it. And they obviously have chosen not to, but you know the airport committee can also bring it as a recommendation. I guess as the liaison, you would do that.
Yeah, we already did too. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Send it up to the council level.
Yeah, well, I want to see on the agenda next meeting, personally.
The agenda of the city council.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let them.
Yeah, I'll tell Jim and Cheryl.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, budget.
The budget. You know, I think the reason why we put this on here. Jim wanted me to talk with you guys about what we're doing in setting the budget and the budget preparation, specifically when it comes to fuel cells. There's also, I know there was some discussion in the city council meeting last night, although I wasn't there, about the airport budget. The primary thing about the airport budget is there's two things about it. One, when we did the budgeting last year, we underestimated the amount of Jet A we would sell, which so that's a good thing. We sold a lot more than what we anticipated. But because we've sold a lot more than what we've anticipated, we've had to buy a lot more than what we've anticipated. So the budgetary numbers are off. And there's going to have to be a supplementary budget done to fix those numbers. Nothing a bad thing there. The only thing negative about it is we underestimated, which if that's the worst problem we're having, I'm happy with that.
Now you underestimated that, but how is it for your total budget? Are they going to have a supplemental because of the total budget or the line item?
No, total.
Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Right, and we will probably also, and this wasn't in the discussion last night, but just to add to it, we will probably also have in the supplemental budget, a supplemental budget for the airport side of the account too, which is a different account number, and that's because our AIP project came in higher than what we had estimated when we were doing budget estimates last year. Again, nothing really a problem, although we just underestimated it. The revenue is offset towards the cost. Everything's offsetting. It's just, again, to fix that budgetary number.
So you got to fix both numbers.
The appropriations are
right.
If the appropriations don't match up, you have to.
Right. So we anticipated before we had any, and we had to do the budget last year before we had any numbers. Mm-hmm. And we anticipated $150,000 for this project. Frankly, it was just, that type of guess. And then after the budget was already in process, that's when we went through and we did the estimating and we got the bids back and everything, and it wound up being about $180,000 for a total project. So it's not a huge number difference, and the FAA is funding it plus the Connect Oregon 3 stuff, so it sets off. The other issue we have in that they were talking about last night is the way David Marshall is doing the budget calculations. He's doing linear progressions on things. So we spent this much so far, we're going to spend this much if the trend continues. Well, some of these things out at the airport have a much more variable scope to them, and the fuel sales and purchases are more variable. They're not on a linear scope. So where the numbers look like they're going over, and it looks like we're if you look at it, it looks like the fuel is costing us more to purchase than it is to sell. And that's not the case. I did work up some numbers here.
Well, actually, David sent out to us today.
Yeah, I saw a copy of that.
A copy of, is that the one that you just sent out?
Yeah.
This morning?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw a copy of that. I'll skip that first part there. For Jet A specifically, the cost of what we have purchased so far has been $163,810. The price at which we've sold that so far is $207,121, which is a gain. I'm not using the word profit because we have some other costs in there involved with our staff and salaries and, you know, other things. But the gain on that is $43,310. I still have in inventory approximately $25,849 worth of Jet A in inventory. So we're doing well. I mean, it's not going to, you know, raise enough money for us that we're out of getting money from the general fund each budget cycle yet. Things like the Erickson Air Museum and things like that happen, it could be. But we're not in the hole on fuel like that shows. The other thing is I was trying to figure out, and that's one of the things I was working on all morning, how much I anticipate I'm going to have to buy before the fiscal year is over. I'm anticipating that I'm going to have to buy between 5,000 and 10,000 gallons before the fiscal year is over. What that means is I'm going to end the fiscal year having to buy fuel that I'm not going to sell until the next fiscal year. So the numbers will look a little odd there, but it's going to look like we've balanced out, where once we sell that fuel, we'll be back up at a profit again. Avgas is another thing that's on there. It's actually even more critical as far as the linear progression of his estimates, because we don't sell nearly as much av fuel. And we've bought almost all we need at this point, and so I won't be spending any more on avgas, I don't anticipate. If so, I won't have to buy more than about 2,000 or 3,000 gallons before the end of the year. And so that number that he has is going to take a significant drop. So that spreadsheet's going to end up, I'm trying to work on changing his forecast numbers to actually fit what I anticipate, but there's a couple of variables in there I'm still working with, so I haven't fixed it yet completely. But at the end of the year, it's not going to look like what his linear progression estimates.
He doesn't have, I guess, Oregon budget law doesn't allow us to carry inventory into the next year as a cash carryover.
Well, sure.
That's the problem. Inventory. I mean, that's the problem.
That's what I've
you pay up front for the fuel. You got it sitting there, and even though it has value, you can't carry it forward. So
right.
Yeah.
So, and that's the difference between me being the manager trying to figure out what's actually happening and him having to deal with the numbers.
So, even though you have the fuel there, and therefore you're not going to be purchasing that many gallons of fuel for next year, what does that do for your line item? Are you going to carry about the same line item, or are you going to reduce it for next year?
Next year, in the next budget cycle, I'm actually increasing that line item to match more of what we did this year.
Therefore, you've picked up then a couple thousand gallons.
We've sold significantly more. We've sold significantly more this year than we did last year. Part of that is Seaport's buying a lot more fuel for it from us, and that's because of the discounts we've given them. Yeah, I was talking with Jim Vogtberg about this morning. It's kind of, for us, it's kind of the old cliche of six of one, half a dozen of the other, because if we stop selling the fuel at a discount to Seaport, the margin on it will be higher, but we're not going to sell nearly as much fuel. So that washes out. But there's an intrinsic value to providing that discount to Seaport so that they can keep flying in here. And
so you're selling, you're not going to make any money if they don't mine in gas, period, if they're not
right
here.
Right.
You may make 10 cents, you're making more. So you're right, and then you probably get a volume discount if you buy more money. Well, of course, we don't have the capacity yet, probably.
Right. Yeah. No. We capacity is still the issue. We always purchase at the best discount we can get at the volume we can buy. If we can't buy a full load, and this is that issue we had last year with running out of fuel, and the big hoo-ha that was, is because we have this problem with. I get a discount at a certain volume, and it's significantly higher if I buy less than that. I can buy less than that at the full volume if I split a load with another airport, but splitting a load with another airport is not always available. So we do our absolute best to either buy a full load or buy a split load with another airport.
Of course, it turns out not to be our, I mean, there's an advantage to buy a split load, but then again, they get to sell it for less money too. So in Florence isn't selling the amount of gas we do. Mm-hmm. They're buying it from Eugene, they bought it from California, someone said, or maybe somewhere else. But we're actually helping them out by doing a split load. Mm-hmm. We're helping our, but it doesn't help us any because our guys, well, they don't, I don't know, you're not going to fly there in a jet to get cheap. But you have gas, you might. So.
Who's on your budget committee?
Oh, God, 14 people.
There are that many people?
The whole city council and then seven citizens.
I'm just kind of curious what they're...
Okay. Anyhow, well, yeah, I mean, that's, I didn't know you couldn't carry inventory, which is kind of silly, but that's what...
Well, on the books. I mean, obviously, we're going to carry inventory in real life.
At the end of the day, it shouldn't be that big a factor, because you're going to have a fiscal year end every year.
That's right.
And you're going to have inventory setting up. And so it's a rolling number that... Yeah. And it may fluctuate a little bit up and down, but the net of it is, at the end of the day, it doesn't make a lot of difference.
It doesn't, except for that it makes it more difficult. When it comes to appropriations, and you just have to make sure that you
understand.
Put the right amounts of money in,
well, and
the front end. And that's the hard part right now.
And the frustrating part from my side is the picture of what's actually happening out there is different than the picture of what David can put on his books.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're actually in better shape than what that looks like as far as the cost and selling of.
Yeah, he's saying you're going to come out no matter what with a 46,000 negative cash.
Yeah, and
I'm trying. It's bad compared to the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I'm trying. Well, I don't think it's even going to be that. I there's still a couple of variables I'm trying to work with to make sure they're ironed out, but I don't think we're going to have any negative balance. I think we probably will actually end with a positive balance. Now, that's offset by the other side of it, the operating the airport, which cost us money, and there's really minimal.
But your appropriations are there for that. He's saying this is above.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So the whole point is that doesn't look as bad as it is. Fuel cells are good. In the end, fuel cells don't make us, you know, they're not a gold mine out there. They could be if things happen well. Could open up a lot of other opportunities if things like the Air Museum and things like that happen. But it is on the positive side at this point.
Okay, discussion meeting date time. We're lacking two people, one in particular who wanted to have it changed. Should we keep it on the agenda for next time and discuss it then?
He sent me an email and he said 2:00 would work on nearly any day. That noon is just not going to work really well.
That's because of the business out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a choice. I'd like to see or put the idea out maybe for Thursday or Friday. Any time during the day, Thursday, any time during the day, Friday. But it would match the city schedule and match.
Well, Thursday, I don't remember whether it's the second or third Thursday we have DNC. Do you remember, Mark?
I think it's the second.
Because we could do the third Thursday.
Now, you have a meeting in here every Monday at noon, right?
Yes.
That goes until
every
what?
No, not every Monday.
Every first
every planning commission
doesn't have any meetings
meet on the second and fourth meeting. Second, fourth.
They don't meet at noon.
No.
Is there anybody on noon on Monday in here?
Well, not on the second and fourth Mondays, but the noon time was
the problem.
Mark Watkins' issue.
That's what I'm saying. I was saying maybe 2:00 on Monday.
2:00 on either the second or the fourth Monday would work.
It would even work on the first and third, because we usually are done by 1:30. We stayed a little longer yesterday.
Yeah, we did 2:00, but yeah. 2:00, we would be tight. We'd force us out of here, because we wouldn't have anywhere.
So it could be any
Monday. You don't like those long meetings.
Any Monday at 2:00 would be fine, if you're going to do it at 2:00.
Okay. Your feelings for a Monday?
I don't favor a Monday, but that's...
You don't favor a Monday, okay.
I don't favor a Monday or a Friday.
No,
I don't
Fridays either.
Quite honestly, it's the truth. I get out of town.
Yeah,
Friday. Yeah, I was thinking Friday.
I may not come back. Yeah.
Thursdays
are probably good days as long as it doesn't conflict with DNC.
Well, it meets once a month, right?
Yeah, but I don't know whether it's the second or the third.
I can't remember either.
Well, it was last week.
I'm going to ask Cheryl right now.
It was last...
Well, see, I'm not on that committee anymore, so I don't know.
So what was last Thursday, the second or the...
They switch around.
That was the second.
We're on the third right now.
We're on the third.
We're on the third Tuesday.
Third Tuesday. So I guess the concept would be, does the third Thursday work?
That's what he's going to find out.
The third... Well, are you talking to me?
Works for me.
Anybody. I'll be here whenever you tell me to be here.
But Fridays are bad because...
Yeah.
Fridays are bad. I'm not sure we can get a quorum on Friday.
No, well, it's really hard.
You might be here by yourself, buddy.
I'm functional.
Yeah.
The Thursday is great.
Yeah, I can understand.
What can you say? You always hear, and I want to quash rumors, and someone saying, well, NOAA's not flying Seaport because somebody got their... They're all pants on bunch or something. But what's the real story?
The real story is complicated.
Well, is there a fix to it? I guess I don't care.
Well, I think it's already been fixed.
Oh.
In the beginning of Seaport's operations here, Seaport was not on the system that the travel agent that NOAA uses. Mm. NOAA uses a third-party travel agent. Please. Who then uses a certain type of system, and Seaport wasn't on that system. Even at that time, though, if a NOAA employee called their travel agent and said, hey, I got to get to Newport, the travel agent would find the Seaport flight, and instead of booking it through their system, would simply call Seaport direct. So it was always, NOAA employees have always had the ability to fly on Seaport. Now Seaport is in their electronic system, and now it's just all that much easier.
Okay.
The real problem is right now
perception.
I think it's even worse than that. Is you've got only a handful of people who actually are NOAA employees who are flying in and out very regularly, because they're just the few people that are coming in to oversee, you know, the construction of the facility.
Right.
And
well, they get that May 1st.
They have gotten into a habit, whether it's just a habit or they have a personal thing against Seaport, or whether they just, I don't know what it is, they've gotten into a habit of flying through Horizon to Eugene and driving over here. And that's kind of being extrapolated by the public as everyone in NOAA is doing that. Well, there's only like three or four people traveling for NOAA right now. I talked with the guy doing the travel, the travel agent guy, the company's called AvTrav or something like that. AdTrav. I talked with the guy who is in charge of their government program, and he said he would call the NOAA people and make sure they understood the process. But anyone in NOAA right now who needs to book here will call them and say, hey, I need to get to Newport. He said the very first thing they're going to tell them is Seaport Airlines flies from Boeing Field to Portland to Newport, and they'll offer that as a booking. Now, the employees have the alternative to say what other options are there. His anticipation was 90% of them are going to go, okay, book it, and, you know, and there's not going to be any question. So I don't anticipate that there's going to be any trouble with the bulk of NOAA employees once they're all in and out of here flying and using Seaport. The other question is the businesses that are going to be supporting NOAA, and they're not going through the NOAA travel agent. They're going through their own personal way of doing it. How is that message getting out to them?
We had them a flyer.
Well, we're trying to. We're trying to get that out as much as possible, but that really becomes on Seaport's, you know, burden to market their services up in the Seattle area.
Or wherever the vendors are coming from.
Mm.
So the third Thursday is open. Back to that topic.
Okay. What is it?
Third Thursday is available.
Or the first Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, third's been a common. Third week has always been airport week.
First Thursday, Curtis?
I'll try to run with it.
For me?
You want third?
You tell them in, right?
Doesn't mean I'm just saying the first or the third or the fourth.
Is that for 2 o'clock on Thursday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2 o'clock on Thursday?
Yeah,
that works with staff.
That works for me.
What does that do to you and your business?
It makes no difference.
He's on call 24 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's my playtime. I don't want to interfere with work time. I don't care about.
If you really want to get honest.
It's like Friday and Mondays are out.
Exactly.
So the third.
I noticed
Thursday
I had consensus opinion there.
Yeah. Third Thursday in May is the 19th.
That sounds like a good day.
That one's sketchy.
You what?
Well, that's just one time. Just, I mean, I'm leaving for Europe next week, and I don't know if I'm going to be back.
Okay, because I'm going to Europe in July, so.
I do get back the day before that. Theoretically, that's whether I want to come to a meeting.
You'll be tired.
So is it the third Thursday at 2 p.m.?
You want the first Thursday or third Thursday?
I don't care. It doesn't matter
for me either.
Yeah. Well, if it's the first Thursday, you won't be here next.
I definitely won't be here.
Okay, third Thursday?
Was we at here 2 otherwise? P.m. 2
o'clock?
Okay.
Sounds good.
2 o'clock on Thursday, the
19th.
Okay.
Great.
You're available?
I am going to make myself available to you guys every possible opportunity.
Except on Fridays or Mondays.
Fridays and Mondays, yeah. Mondays I'm always available. Friday afternoon is sketchy.
I don't know where you go on Friday afternoon.
Do you have anything else to report after going through the list?
Most of the stuff is, we've already went through a couple of other items. This last month I did have the Oregon Airport Managers Association meeting. We discussed several issues up there. It was a pretty good informative meeting. A couple of things that are before the state that are important are Connect Oregon. They're going through another round of Connect Oregon 4. ODOT, simply because they don't want to administrate it, is trying to do away with the rural airports version or part of Connect Oregon 4. That's the part that even if we don't get a Connect Oregon project, we still get the funding for our match on our AIP grants. So you're talking about it's a 5% match, so if it's a $100,000 job, you're talking about $5,000, but if it's a $10 million job, you're talking about a lot more money. So that rural airports money is really important. We're trying to push the legislature to continue that like they did last time, but you don't know. We don't even know if they're going to pass Connect Oregon 4 at this point. Last I heard, I think it was still being discussed. Has anybody heard if it's...
I haven't heard.
Okay.
I listened to a legislative update last week and didn't hear anything.
Okay. The other issue before the legislature that we're fighting as the group of Oregon Airport Managers is ODOT wants to do away with ODA, the Oregon Department of Aviation. That's a big deal. They would just absorb it as a department head under ODOT. We would never hear from Oregon again on aviation issues if that happens. Mm-hmm. It's very good that we have ODA there, and we're, as a group, the airport managers in Oregon, are pushing the legislatures to keep that and not do away with ODA. So, again, any input you guys can have, call your favorite representative or senator and let them know that you do not want ODA to be done away with.
No.
Those were the two big items there. A few other issues before the Oregon Airport Managers Association that aren't big issues. Then I also went to the FAA Northwest Mountain Region Conference. Again, a good conference, made a lot of good contacts with people. A couple of the big issues, and it's still the ongoing reauthorization issue, which I touched on a little bit a few minutes ago. Congress is still, since 2007, has not reauthorized the Aviation Trust Fund. It's been the authorization for the Aviation Trust Fund that expired in 2007 has been going on continuing resolutions, which kind of just keeps the status quo going. We're on the 18th continuing resolution for that right now. And each time it means the FAA can only work in small chunks. What they like to do is they like to, a year at a time, issue their grants and, issue their discretionary funds and keep their money balanced out. What they get now is they get these little chunks from one resolution to the next. And so right now they're in a state where they know, well, we only have a third of the money that's authorized available to give out. And so we can only do a third of the grants right now. And then in another 6 or 7 weeks, when there's another continuing resolution, we'll be able to do another third. And then we'll be able to do another third. So it makes it real difficult for us to get our money. It makes it real difficult for them to program grants and everything.
Just ask for one-third projects.
Actually, some airports where they can phase bigger projects into thirds, they've actually been doing that. But again, smaller projects, it's real difficult to do that.
I put a good word in for you to Kurt Schrader when he was here.
Okay.
Yeah, I did too.
Keep that going. Don't let it go to
even go phasing. Even phasing things in third carries a presumption that you can follow up with the second, third, and the
right.
third.
It presumes that the money's going to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's the problem.
We've actually made more progress has actually been made this time than in the past. Since 2007, neither the House nor the Senate have been able to even come up with their own bills that they've passed. At this point, both the House and the Senate have passed bills. Unfortunately, they're very different. They have a different amount of money in a different time span. The House bill is 4 years, the Senate bill is 2 years. One does away with EAS by a certain time, the other doesn't do away with EAS. And there's a lot of things that once they get together, if they'll even be able to come up with a single bill or not, it's a big question at this point. So we might be looking at another year or 2 years, even another 3 years without authorization. And this authorization is not just AIP funding, it's the entire FAA funding. So it makes it difficult to plan and program things. And that's the big issue in front of airports right now. A few other things. One of the big things which may come up is everyone involved with the FAA has to implement in the next couple of years safety management system programs. They make sense on a big level with a big project or something, but right now the FAA is kind of hitting it with a one size fits all approach, and it's going to be one of those things where if at a smaller airport like ours, I won't be doing anything but doing safety management systems. We won't be able to do anything else. So again, we're trying to kind of change their opinion on that and change their view on that to scale it down, at least for smaller airports.
That's just a constant battle with FAA. I don't know who's in charge up there, but all they want to do is make big projects.
Well, the problem with the safety management system is that it's an ICAO standard, the International Civil Aeronautics Organization, which is the worldwide version of the FAA. And the United States is a member state in ICAO. And as a member state in ICAO, you make a promise that you will adhere to ICAO standards. And this is one of the standards that the United States has been putting off for 4 or 5 years now. And it's finally getting to the point where the FAA has to do it. So
yeah, the big ones first, and small ones along. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, that's about all to report at this point.
Have you get a chance to go up there and visit with the Seattle and other FISBO or FISDOs?
Well, FISDO's not at this conference. This is the Northwest Mountain Region of the ADO, the Airports District Office. Mm-hmm. And this is more so the airports side, not the flight side. FISDO doesn't have a lot of involvement. But yeah, I did meet with our airport project manager for the FAA, and I met with the money guy, and I met with our engineers and so on.
They know where money is, and they'll tell you if you ask them.
Yep. Well, and that's the issue. That's why I even brought up the discussion on the authorization funding, is because that's the whole issue with the money. Everything's kind of in the air until they pass.
Well, would an AIP project, but I need to list what they're qualified for, say a big building went in and needed a ramp. What can we do? Is there any AIP monies that can be made available to make that more friendly to get to airplanes
right.
out of buying?
There's a document about that thick out about how the AIP program works and what projects are eligible and how to get projects eligibility. Ramps and taxiways are eligible as long as they are available to the entire public. So if we were to build a ramp for, say, an Erickson Air Museum type of place, and it was only used by that facility and no other persons could use it, it would not be eligible for AIP funding.
He's only looking for new businesses.
Right, so exactly. If it was available to anyone, or the business was open to anyone, or public could fly in, park right at the back and walk into the museum, and it was open to the public, then it becomes AIP eligible.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, because I think that was, he said that he had some huge ramp that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked a little bit more about it, that was really what he wanted the ramp for.
People flying,
well, see, that's what he has up in Tillamook.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, that's a pretty good height from the terminal to that place. You know?
Right. Yeah. So it does become AIP eligible. The next thing with that issue is the FAA's prioritizing of AIP eligible projects: safety, capacity, environmental, and then. Other needs.
We've met the first.
Well, this one, a new ramp and new taxiway is not a safety issue.
I know. But haven't we met all of?
Right. No. Then what I'm saying is they look at the project. So I go to them and I say, I want to build a new ramp and a new taxiway.
Right.
Then they go, okay. Out of everyone in the United States who's looking for money right now, the projects that are safety related get the highest amount. So if we need to extend a safety area at a runway, at an airport, that one comes before your taxiway and runway. Or if it's capacity. So Denver International Airport is having delays and delays and delays, and they need to build another runway. That project comes before a new taxiway or a ramp here. The next one is environmental, like noise and stuff like that. And then finally, other things. So the argument would be, is this necessary for capacity, or is it just, you know...
Well, the combination.
Right. When it comes to this, we would approach the FAA for the money, and they do the ranking. And how they rank it is...
Well, it depends on how you write it down, too. I mean, obviously, you need capacity for people to fly in to go there, and all those planes he has are flyable. So,
right.
I would think that would.
I would say we could make the argument that it's a capacity issue, and it would be it would get a higher priority level. The next phase in their determining whether or not you get funding for it is how does it compare against the other projects in your region as far as the importance and the level. So the whole point is yes, it is eligible, but we could get to the point where the FAA says, yeah, it's eligible, but we're not giving you the money, we're giving it to...
Yeah, but that happened one year, but I mean, the old story is you got to ask for it, you'll
right.
never get it.
Oh, no, and we will. We'll definitely ask for it, but that's just, you know... I'm also looking at this as a project to present to Connect Oregon if there's another round of Connect Oregon, because it fits right in with the multimodal concept of Connect Oregon, bringing business in, bringing development in, improving infrastructure at facilities that aren't highway and road related. So
it has an evacuation center.
Yeah. We could fly those airplanes out of here, you know.
Is that why there's a lot of space underneath the airplanes.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. Yeah,
you could almost have a seafood wine festival in there with the planes in there.
That's true.
At 110,000 square feet. Yeah. It's huge. Yeah. So, but does that qualify anywhere in the AIP stuff?
Not in the AIP.
Some other funding sources, maybe, if that were to become an evacuation facility.
Right.
On top of everything else, if they created a space for a storage of food and water in there.
Yeah, and
evacuation purposes.
Connect Oregon, we could definitely go with that on Connect Oregon. Other opportunities out there. The FAA wouldn't look at that. They would be hard pressed to look at that as an AIP eligible project.
But it might help us qualify for money's other places.
Right. Yes.
Because the FBO became an evacuation center during the last tsunami drill.
Yeah, it did.
You had what, 25, 30 people up there?
Yeah, we did.
So, and there's a lot more need for a space. Big space for people off the South Beach Peninsula.
The whole story is there's no place if you need supplies. Unless it's a nice dry day out there, you're gonna have to store them out in the tarmac and get all wet. You don't have a building to put them into.
Yeah.
So the disaster's not gonna happen when it doesn't rain around here.
Yeah. So having some space inside that building would be
right.
The civil emergency kind of thing would be really cool.
You know, something could be written up regards to FEMA. Also, something written up at this. Person decides to build that and what have you, that during that period of time that he would be receiving substantial money from the federal government during that time of emergency also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it would be written up, which would be very positive for him to even consider coming into Newport, because that would be another part.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be helpful, I think. Yeah, you know, even the, a big building like that, if he has a bunch of airplanes, and that guy that would like to locate has the avionics shop in Hillsboro, would be another good reason for him to come down. He has like more places to work on.
Right, and well, and that's where I go back to, especially with the FAA funding and the Connect Oregon funding, we would develop this where it's developing a taxiway and ramp system to this new area. This museum would be one of the things we would put out here, you know, and we could bring in an avionics shop, we could bring in, you know, whatever else wants to come in.
Well, it's another huge, big draw. These guys have airplanes like to play golf, too, I understand. And we have a golf course right across the street. It's beautiful. Nine holes already set up. All I got to put holes in the ground.
He has air tankers, right? Is that what he has?
Right.
The DC-9 air tankers that he has to run.
The other thing he would do out of it is run his air tankers out of it.
And he's not intending to have a facility to actually work on planes inside this museum. So there's a whole need for repairs and service.
Great. More reason to get water out there.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, Kurt, anything?
No.
Peggy writes very good notes and what have you, and there was a section we discussed pretty lengthy today. Is there a possibility that could be modified?
Not as detailed?
Oh, yes.
In the power investing, could you spill some coffee or something? I can't read
the notes,
but okay.
Yes. I mean, really, the minutes are only need to reflect.
Because I know, as a matter of public record, you do good on the minutes.
So the potential of the airport properties, you can leave it that way.
Yeah. Is there anything else? Okay, we're adjourned.
Might as well just stay here. We're going to be here pretty soon.
That'd be a really cool thing.
However, I was upset with you in one item.
Thank you.
What was that?
Replace.